Om Shanti, everyone. In today's Muli, Baba said that he's given us enlightenment. That's now the end of the drama. And we have to go to the new world. And of course, that means there has to be effort to become pure and to help purify others. In other words, we now have to break all of our limitations in order to do this. And if there's one thing about Gyan that's always been attracting me, it's the possibility of becoming unlimited, of going beyond all of the restrictions that this physical world imposes, beyond the bodies, beyond the ramifications of our ego, beyond all of the useless thinking, beyond being petty and having a small heart. And in this way, we recuperate our former greatness. It's great. Even in every day's Muli, Baba mentions that he's the unlimited father speaking to the unlimited children. So he invites us to his world. And this is what attracts me to God, so that I can become like him. Like I can understand everything. And therefore, I can become completely impartial. Because of what he knows, he loves. He's both the detached observer and the ocean of love at the same time. So with unlimited Bubba in front of me, I'm inspired to think and to speak and to do as he does. To have an unlimited stage, to have an unlimited attitude, unlimited vision towards myself, towards others, towards the world. We can all understand the dictionary meaning of unlimited. But perhaps we don't have the practical experience of it. What does it really mean? Of course, all of our references connected with this physical world are all limited. No matter how great, how wonderful, they are limited. The body and everything connected with it are limited. Therefore, the sense of I that is connected with the physical identity will always be limited in its scope, in its perception, unless I can move beyond it. The other day I saw a drawing of a cross-section of our physical planet showing the different layers. And you can see the core, which is sort of solid, and then different layers, mantles they call them, which are either molten or semi-molten. And finally, the crust and the surface. Everything that has ever been significant in our history and geography has happened on the surface, on the few kilometers that make up the crust and the surface, including the oceans. Nothing meaningful happened beneath the land or beneath the oceans. So it's all surface stuff. And it's interesting because in the same way we live on the surface of ourselves. Though we have a core, we have different layers, it's as if that everything that is significant about us is limited to this latest layer, which is actually only 1/84th of my lives. And we are generally unaware of the deeper layers, and especially unaware of our core of original qualities. We know that each birth is a layer, and that it builds up over time, so that we've gradually become sort of distant from our original core qualities of purity, peace, love, happiness, and so on. And Baba often talks about the sequence of tyag, with renunciation, tapasya, and service. And that the basis of successful service is the quality of our meditation or tapasya. And that the basis of successful tapasya is tyaga, renunciation. Before even that, before even renunciation, we also have to have viragya, which we translate as disinterest. It's not exactly that, but more or less. Viragya really means that I have something so valuable that everything else pales in comparison, that I needn't have further interest in that. I have a relationship with Baba, with Gyan, with Brahman life that is so valuable that nothing else really can compare with it. And it is this realization that by becoming close to Baba, I can become like him, that inspires me to leave behind everything that doesn't add value to this relationship, and its most obvious outcome, which is to become like Baba, to become a world benefactor. And viragya doesn't mean indifference either. It's just that I identify what is completely useful for my effort, for my progress, to become an angel, to become like God. What sort of thoughts, words and actions, activities and interests can really help me to progress spiritually? And to go beyond the ropes that tie me down. I know that if I break those ropes, I start to have an impact on the whole world. Several years ago, we developed a course on overcoming anger and resolving conflicts. It was very entertaining. And this was in Brazil. Many signed up for the first retreat on this topic. About half BKs, the other half were people from the general public. Baba often talks about the children of anger, for example. So I made a questionnaire in which each of the 20 questions was connected with one or the other aspect of anger's children. So, indignation, impatience, intolerance, etc., even tension, actually, as a form of anger. Are you more impatient than you would like to be? Yes or no? This was an example of a question. Another one was, if you see someone coming towards you with whom you've had a recent conflict, do you move out of the way to avoid them? Yes or no? If you know that someone is defaming you, do you freeze all communication with that person? Yes or no? Do you get tense when there's an important task in front of you? Yes or no? So they all answered the questions, and these are sort of situations that we all go through. Not much to my surprise, actually, the BKs and the outside people had more or less the same marks. And it was a big realization. What sort of attention are we giving to our efforts? Or do we think that everything's okay? That these mistakes are nothing. And just because we are Brahmins, it doesn't mean that we are better than anyone else. Not at all. So, we seem to fail in similar tests to anyone. So then I reveal the results in a fun way. The ones who had zero yeses, the 20 questions, were angels. Five yeses were pretty spiritual. If there were 10 situations in which they didn't pass, it meant that they were probably less spiritual than they want to be. And if they had 15 yeses meant that they wouldn't be very happy with themselves. They would feel pretty sorry for themselves. And if they had 20 yeses out of 20 questions, that meant that they probably didn't have any friends either. The object of the exercise was to highlight these things, but it was to see the type of effort we need to go beyond even these little tests. And in examining our feelings in such situations, we can truly see how limited or unlimited we are. If such little tests defeat me, how can I pretend that I'm unlimited in my perception and emotions? How can I jump over these situations and not be stopped or held up by them? There's also another experience connected, more or less, with this that I'd like to share. I once spent more than a year in Melbourne in Australia. And from our BK centre there, we organised with a maximum security prison to teach meditation to the prisoners. It was a very interesting experience. There were around 20 finally in the group that ended up being regular, all of them serving long prison sentences, and the leader of the group actually was a murderer. He had murdered his whole family and was now suffering great remorse. So I asked him at one point why he had done it, and he replied, pretty weak reply, but he was just trying to get some peace. He had been unemployed for many months and his whole family was getting on his back about it. You lazy thing, get up and do something about it. So one afternoon he just lost his mind, and unfortunately there was a weapon handy, and he picked it up and shot everyone. He became very interested in meditation as a means of dealing with the great sorrow that he had caused to others and himself. Apparently later on he became a model prisoner, but the fact that he did something so drastic as killing a number of people in order to be peaceful made me think very deeply about what moves us. We can be deeply moved to become anything, in this case from a murderer, and also to become an angel. The difference, of course, is the quality of the information available, the experience we're going through, and of course the methods that we have available to develop that information, experience. Of course, we can't condone murder, but I can ask myself, am I motivated to leave everything else aside and die a life for Baba, so that he can use me fully? So every day, we have this example, more than 1,000 days Didi Mohini has been conducting online sessions with Avyakti Pariva. She is an example of unlimited surrender and renunciation. All these programs are transmitted on YouTube and other social media, but in these, we, Brahma Kumaris, are described as a community of angels. So because we are so careful with our language in the West, one of our centers was very concerned about us being publicized as angels, when probably we are not really angels yet, but just making efforts to become like angels. Many would be very disappointed if they came to our centres expecting to find angels. So the answer, of course, is not to change our language, but to become angels as Baba wants us to be. So it's not a question of bad publicity. It should be good publicity if we truly become that, because angels are unlimited. There's nothing that ties them to this old world. It's not even a question of renunciation for angels, but of understanding. They understand exactly what Baba wants, to reveal him and to get this physical transformation of the old world into the new world happening. So how many times have I promised Baba that I would go beyond all of these little mistakes that I mentioned before, if I really understand what Baba wants? It's just a question of recognizing what I have to truly leave behind and what I have to receive from him. So leave and receive. Once I remember Baba asking a group of double foreigners if we really understood the sort of renunciation we had to have. And he said, we wouldn't use the word renunciation if we were talking about rubbish. We would just identify the rubbish and put it out of the house. So we are receiving so much, so how can we be talking about renunciation? This is what he asked us. He said we have to have faces of attainment, not faces of renunciation. That will inspire people. So I really have to go beyond defining, redefining renunciation, intellectualizing about renunciation, and then deciding and promising Baba what I would do. No, I need to do something different. I can see myself that it's so easy to become task conscious, when what I really need to do is to always understand the context of what we are doing, the task we are doing, and have the renunciation necessary for those things to happen with success. Once we were organizing a retreat, this is quite a funny story. We were organizing a retreat in one of the countries here, and each of the centers had been given a task so that everything could happen easily. There was one brother center, actually, that had the task of bringing the blessing cards that would be given out with tollies and so on. Unfortunately, they forgot to bring the blessing cards. And the sister who was organizing everything became very upset and shouted at him, "Where are the blessings?" And he looked at her shamefacedly and said, "Sister, where are your blessings?" We can laugh at such a situation. Maybe we've seen something similar. But we know that we often forget why we are doing service, not only for the world, but also to inspire the Brahmin family. Blessings are not just words on cards. Just as all of the words that Baba uses in the Moolis are not just words, if we are task conscious or task oriented, we will always forget the bigger picture, the bigger objective. So the big question is, what is it that makes me my spirituality work? And what is it that holds me back? What's stopping me from progressing? It's the inability to renounce the vices connected with our thoughts, words, and actions. This is the number one reason why we are not progressing as we should. I remember when I first came to Baba, after a very short time, when I thought back about my life before Gyan, it seemed like I was thinking about someone else. Such was the contrast. Such was the initial transformation. It wasn't really me thinking about that one. The real me was the one Baba had found. And I was so intoxicated. I came to Gyan in London in August 1975. In November, just a few months later, that same year, I was in Madhuban in front of Bhaktada, and he told me that I would go to Australia and bring back a bouquet of souls. I had no idea what that meant, and I also had no idea that I would be alone very soon after arriving in Australia, in Sydney. The centre that I'd come to help had closed, and Didi Nemala had asked me if I could look after the things of the centre until she came back. It became clear after some time that she wouldn't be back so soon, so I had to do something. I wrote to Dadiji that I was going to start a centre with very little preparation at all, just on inspiration. Just by saying yes to Baba in that situation filled me with so much power. And I started to witness Baba's magic immediately as souls started to come to the small centre I was renting. After only 3 months, it was too small. So we found a bigger house, double-storey house actually. And at that time there was so much intoxication in everyone who was circling around. I don't think anyone really thought about renunciation because there was so much experience, so much attainment, so much love. Everything was available easily from Baba. So one thing led to the other, and after a year of service in Sydney, I went back to Madaman with a bouquet of 16 souls. Then service expanded in Australia, and after almost 4 years, Dadiji asked me in Madaban if I'd like to go to Brazil, since they had received an invitation from there, from someone who had visited there. So I honestly had so much experience of how Baba looks after things, I was unworried. I didn't think about what I would have to renounce in order to do this. The idea was to go for 3 months, and I'm still there, right? I even asked Baba personally if this was what he wanted me to do. He replied yes, and gave me some instructions about being friendly as much as I could, and about not pushing our principles so much, because the people had to experience first and then understand. So I can remember arriving in São Paulo in May 1979 with so much intoxication that Baba had literally sent me here to do his service, literally. That he had already looked after everything. In fact, everything was ready. Again, one thing led to another. Service expanded not only in Brazil, but to the other countries in South America. And it's all Baba's magic, Baba's wonder, and of course the cooperation of so many over the years. In the Gita, it talks about three types of renunciation: tamasic, rajasic, and sattvic. Tamasic renunciation is when we leave something due to ignorance. Rajasic renunciation is when we leave something due to fear or under pressure. And sattvic renunciation is when we abstain from both sin and desires, selflessly performing our duties generously and renouncing any fruit obtaining from them. So I do it without thinking about returns. In April 1982, there was a famous series of Abhyak Mulis on the topic of renunciation. Everyone should study those mullis. In essence, Baba said that the basis of fortune is renunciation, and that the first and foremost renunciation was of the I and the my connected with body consciousness in so many forms. And in that series, Baba explains renunciation in much greater depth than the explanation in the Gita. He describes three types of renunciates: tyagis, just plain renunciates; mahatyagis, great renunciates; and sarvtyagis, total renunciates, unlimited renunciates. Just plain renunciates are those who, with their knowledge in yoga, according to Baba, recognize what Brahmin life is. They adopt a Brahmin way of life. And for this, they're ready to renounce the old world, including the relationships, the connections, temporary attainments. And this is just the first category, by the way. However, they're not able to maintain courage constantly, and there's less power to face. The obstacles come and they don't have the power to face them. So a form of carelessness or even of preferring comfort comes in between. They are loving, but they're not powerful, according to Baba. The great renunciers, like the second category, they have courage and enthusiasm for transformation within all of their relationships, with their thoughts and sanskars, everything. They feel that the old world or the relationships are dead firm, like this idea of being in the cemetery. They don't have to battle anymore because of that. They are stable, they are filled with love and cooperation and power, though they are constant service. There's the ego of the consequences of their renunciation. So it changes. The iron chains that Baba talks about become golden chains through the wrong consciousness of what? I and mine. I am a good jnani, or I am a good yogi, or look at how much renunciation I've had. Look what I've done for Baba. These thoughts don't allow us to be liberated from bondages in a constant manner. So they've gone beyond the household of lokic things, lokic relationships, lokic tasks, but not the households of the body, their own body, or of the service. So they are still subtly trapped in them. They may be even famous in the Brahmin family, Baba said. Yet a trace of this pure household consciousness, body and service, remains. So though there is great renunciation, Baba says, they haven't become the complete or the unlimited renunciates. The unlimited ones are those who become the embodiments of Baba's last instruction, incorporeal, egoless, and viceless. As Baba explained, although still in the corporeal form, an unlimited renunciate actually would be constantly incorporeal in thoughts. They would be souls who are constantly detached and loving, just like the Father. They would be constantly egoless in their words. That is, they would have an equal measure of spiritual sweetness and humility. He also said that they would be viceless in their actions with all the physical senses. That is, they would have the personality of purity. So these are the unlimited renunciates. Probably the highest state that I can attain is that of being a world benefactor. Being free from so many other considerations, I would be free to be Baba's instrument in transforming situations, transforming souls from weak into powerful. In other words, as an unlimited renunciate, I'd be sort of completely free from the senses, free from the limited I. My center of reference would be only Baba himself. Mm-hmm. And as such, with nothing separating me from Baba, I could take total benefit from the combined form, Baba and me together, and become an image of upliftment for others. Of course, to reach such a stage is impossible without leaving behind all of the connections and associations we have through our physical identity with the world, with matter, with other souls. That is the level of unlimited renunciation that we need and that Baba wants. First step, just sit very nicely on your seat. Lots of things are happening around you. You can hear the sounds in the distance. But you are a detached observer. Just observing. Not thinking too much. Not trying to control what's going on around you. Just easy, detached. And you're aware of two worlds. The inner one and the outer one. So I'm in the center not only of 360 degrees of things happening around me, but I'm also in the center of my life. Lots of people, objects, things, a network, in fact, connected with me. And as I become more stable and calm, I'm helping everything and everyone that's connected with me. But at the same time, I'm aware of the limitations, what I can get from the material world through any of my sense organs. Doesn't matter how beautiful or tasty or melodious it is, it will not fill the soul with what the soul needs. So I'm aware of the limitations of matter. And then other souls, other people, to whom I'm directly connected, or maybe I'm just aware of. I know their limitations in giving me, the soul, what I need. Peace, love, happiness, truth, purity, wisdom. Everyone else is also looking for these things, so they are not the source of them. So no matter how great someone may be, or how virtuous, they are not the source of what I, the soul, need. So I'm looking at the world around me in a detached way, in an understanding way, knowing that nothing and no one that I see or hear or touch or feel can give me what I need as a soul. So that understanding leaves me compassionate. On the other side, I go into Baba's world immediately. Just think Baba, and I'm with him. I'm not seeing any angelic form, but I know that I'm in Baba's presence. And I know that he can give me what I need, the only one who can give me what I, the soul, need. He's the only one that can empower my original qualities, which are in me. But they need this special connection with Baba in order to become active. And they need a field of action in which they can play their part. So Baba gives me both. He gives me access to my own qualities and powers, and he gives me a field of service in which I can act them out, I can use them. So on one side, the world, and very lovingly I can see its limitations. And on the other, I see Baba just scintillating and brilliant, radiating qualities. And I am just like a flower open to the sun to receive that current, that light. So I remain detached between these two possibilities, the external world and Baba's world. And I know that anything that I can receive from the physical world cannot compare with anything that I can receive from Baba. So I'm in front of Baba just absorbing. He's shining in front of me. And everything is just really powerful. Just stay in that detached state between the physical world and Baba's world, understanding the difference. And open to receive my inheritance. As the source of spiritual qualities and powers, I'm connected. So his peace brings out my peace. His purity brings out my purity. His love brings out my love. His understanding brings out my understanding. But I'm not just in front of the source of qualities and powers. This one is the perfect father and the perfect mother. So I'm just the child in front of my mother and father. I am the student in front of the perfect teacher, that he explains to me the essence of what I need to know. There are many things in the physical world that they call knowledge. But Baba only concerns himself with the knowledge that I need to have in order to become pure, in order to go home, in order to help recreate the cycle. So he has told me who I am, who I belong to, and more importantly, he's told me what I'm supposed to be doing now with my thoughts, words, and actions. So the possibilities of helping Baba in his task are open to me. Baba, as the guide, giving me tips about how to behave, how to act, how to do his task in the best possible way. And as a friend, ready to help me in any situation. So I just feel in front of Baba, just realizing how powerful his presence is. And in front of me, he's its task. I start to see the world differently. In the light of Baba's task, what can I do? What should I do? In order to be more available, what do I have to leave aside? In order to have an immediate and close connection, what are the thoughts, words and actions that I have to leave aside, that I don't need? What do I have to do to become a world benefactor? How many things do I have to go beyond in becoming a world benefactor like you? Just think about it. On one side, Baba is in front of me, empowering me. And on the other side, a world that has to be served. A world that has to receive his message. And in between one and the other, in between the source and what has to be done, are the things that I can do to be more available and to be a better instrument. In Baba's revelation, just stay in silence, enjoying Baba's company and feeling extremely free. Free from any concerns about the physical world. I know the limitations, and that's why I can go beyond them. I've understood what Baba can give me and what I need to do to be able to have access to what Baba can give me. So I'm just enjoying the moment. I'm in front of the source of powers and qualities, and I'm feeling the current activating my qualities, but I'm also in front of the one who's the perfect mother, father, teacher, guide, friend. Giving anything that I could possibly need emotionally. It's very clear to me that I not only have to leave behind many things that do not add value to this effort, to this relationship with you and to this connection with service, but I also have to go beyond the results of what I do, the results of my effort. Maybe my effort is making things easy for me, but I will not relax. I will reinvest those facilities. So I feel free in an unlimited way. I feel close to you, my dear father, my dear mother, my dear teacher, my dear guide, my dear friend. And with these thoughts and with this comfort of knowing that I can get back to this state whenever I want, I come back to my physical presence and remain Om Shanti.